And Craig, you're lucky our guest shows up today and not yesterday, because if it was yesterday, I would play the theme to the Addams Family because it was Halloween. And Craig Addams, meet Paul Addams. I don't know if you two have met him before or if you know.
No, moments ago.
Okay, if there's any long-standing history at all in genealogy somewhere. But Paul joins us this morning. He's the director of the Lorain County Board of Elections. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Appreciate your time at this time of the year. As I mentioned, when he stopped in, I said, it's November. You know, it's no turning back now, because when it's November, that's what everybody thinks about elections. But your process, really, for people voting has been going on for about a month now then, right?
So. That's correct. Early October is when people started to come in and vote at the Board of Elections office. And as of yesterday, we've already had about 11,000 people have come to the Board of Elections and voted already in person.
How might that compare to 4 years ago or 8 years ago, presidential elections?
In 2012, we had a few more voters, probably about 800 more at this point had already voted. So we're a little bit behind. However, in 2012, we had an additional early week of voting, which we didn't have this time. So I have a feeling that we might catch up as we get closer to the election.
For people who have never done early voting, they go to the Board of Elections office, and what happens?
Well, for early voting, they really have two options. One is to vote via mail, and at this point, we've had about 35,000 people in Lorain County vote via mail. If they come to the Board of Elections in person, all they need to do is come in, get in line, and the only form of identification they're going to be asked is either the last four digits of their Social Security number or their driver's license number. If they don't have either of those, we can certainly go through some other options, but almost everybody that comes into our office either provides the last four of their social or their driver's license number to be able to vote.
Does this information get written down? Is it put into a computer right away? What happens to it?
What happens is when you come in, you give them your name and your address. They're going to look you up in our system to make sure you're a registered voter. And then at that point, they're going to print off a form for you. And you'll complete the form, and then our staff members will then compare the information that you've provided with what we have on file. So if somebody came in and let's say they didn't have the proper driver's license number, what we have on file is different, then that would be a case where we would talk with them, because obviously we see a discrepancy. That very rarely happens, but that's how we would confirm it. We wouldn't necessarily enter the information because we already have their ID information.
So somebody couldn't come in yesterday and vote and then come back today and vote?
Correct. So we keep track of, once you come in and you register or you file to vote an absentee ballot, we do keep track of that, so that way if somebody did then try to come in again, it would automatically come up in the system and it would say this person's already voted.
Same thing for them at their regular polling place on election day.
Correct. It's a little bit of a different procedure there, but because the poll workers will see that in the electronic poll books they have. It'll come up in a different way, but it will allow them to note. The system actually will not even allow them to issue a ballot at that point, because it knows that that person's already voted an absentee ballot.
You mentioned the two words, poll workers. Very critical for you at this time of the year, absolutely, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have about 1,200 poll workers that will be working with us on Election Day, and they have just about completed all of the poll worker training. Poll worker training began about a month ago. In order to train 1,200 people, it takes quite a bit of time and effort in order to do that, and we're close to the end of that process.
Who are these people? Why do they want to do that? Do you ever talk to them or find out what it is that wants them to be, make them to be a part of this process?
I would say most of the poll workers that we have are people that have done this for years, and they see it as a community service. They do get paid, but not very much. They'll be the first to tell you that if you figure out how much they make over the entire day, because they're usually working 13, 14 hours during the day, they make less than a minimum wage. But they do it because they see it as a community service. A lot of them take off work specifically for this. Some of them are retired and have done this for years, and they also enjoy the process, because in many cases, they know a lot of the voters that come in over the years, and that's why a lot of the voters choose to go to the polls as opposed to voting early, because in many cases, the voters actually like the poll workers at their particular locations.
You mentioned the process, and that's the kind of a thing that it becomes. It's a living, breathing thing of going to the polls, meeting, seeing somebody, seeing the neighbors, also then being there to seeing how it all goes, as opposed to just sort of filling out a form and mailing it in. There seems to be more, I guess, of a participation as part of that.
Correct. And I, from what I have seen in our county, I've noticed that those individuals who are older in our county, because they're so used to going to the polls, because they remember a time when early voting really wasn't an option. There's a larger number of younger people that choose not to go to the polls. A lot of younger people will vote at the Board of Elections or will vote via mail. We see a large number of older people who have regularly went to the polls. They continue to go to the polls because they have that connection. They've done it for decades, and they expect to continue to do it.
You mentioned you can vote by mail now. You can stop by the Board of Elections. At what point are those votes tallied? The same as Election Day or prior to Election Day?
That's a very good question, because I get a lot of people will call me and will say, well, I don't want to vote early because those votes don't get counted unless it's close, or they get counted long after the election. Well, that's not really true. If you come to the Board of Elections and you vote in person, so you're one of the about 11,000 people who've already voted in our office, when we post our election results on election night, and you see our first report, the first report will come up and say maybe 13% reporting. If you vote in person at the board, you're in that first report that's posted, because you voted on a voting machine, and on election day, we're waiting for all the memory cards to come back from the vote centers. Well, the one that's going to come back first is the ones in our own office, because they're the closest. So they get uploaded into the system first, and they're part of the first report that is posted. Now, for those people that vote via mail, it's a little bit different, but for the most part, the answer to that question is still they're going to be included on election day's numbers. Because as long as we receive your mail ballot by 7:30 on election day, it's going to be included in the final count that you see on election night. Now, you still can provide an absentee ballot. You have the option to have it postmarked that at least by the day before, so the Monday before, and then it has 10 days to get to us. Well, if we don't get the ballot until Wednesday, it'll count for the official count, but we're not going to be able to put it in election night because we don't have it yet. But the vast majority of mail absentee ballots we already have by 7:30 on election night, and those are included in the count on election day.
We always hear about provisional ballots, overseas ballots. What are provisional ballots? How and when are they counted?
Provisional ballots are usually used for individuals who have moved or not updated their voter registration with us at the Board of Elections 30 days before the election. We do have also another provision in this particular election that came out. It was a court ruling that kind of reversed some decisions that have been made concerning purging of voters. So those individuals who may have been purged over the last few years now have the opportunity to vote, but by order of our Secretary of State, they would need to vote a provisional ballot. Those provisional ballots, however, after the election, so we have 10 days to review provisional ballots after the election. What happens during that 10-day period is we're looking at where do they say they came from? Were they registered when they were properly supposed to have been registered? If we have somebody that says they used to live in Cincinnati and now they've moved to Elyria, well, we're going to contact the Hamilton County Board of Elections and see, were you registered in Hamilton County? And if they come back and say, yes, they were registered in Hamilton County, so they were registered 30 days before the election, then, yes, we will then put that ballot in to be counted. And then at that point, the board will review all the provisional ballots, and then we'll vote on whether or not to accept or reject provisional ballots. Typically, in Lorain County, we're about the low 90 percentage rate of approving a provisional ballot. So a little over 90% of provisional ballots in Lorain County are typically then counted in what's called the official count, which happens later in November.
The board is made up of Democrats and Republicans. Does that come into play when they review somebody's ballot as to whether it's going to stay or go?
Also a good question. When ballots are brought before the board of whether or not they are to be accepted or rejected, our board members don't see the name of the individual. They'll see a particular category. So they may see a category of 30 ballots of voters who are not registered. So the four board members, who two are Democrats, two are Republicans, they will look at that category and make a determination on whether or not those ballots should be counted or should not be counted. So they won't be looking at the individual ballots and seeing, oh, okay, well, of the 30 ballots, 20 of them are people that we know and we want them their votes to count, or vice versa. They'll see a particular category and make that decision.
Talking this morning with Paul Adams, director of the Lorain County Board of Election. This election on the national scale has been very contentious. There's even calling into question sometimes the validity of the election, or, you know, in sort of a broad stroke like that. How does that affect you and the state of Ohio, and what maybe memos have come down just to strengthen the public's belief in the elections and how it works, and that the people are able to get to the polls and people are not being prevented? There's sometimes always talks about that type of thing related to people being able to vote and the process.
Well, I'll say, to begin with, I'll say that in our state, I think we already have a very high confidence level in our election system because of the bipartisan election system that is created in Ohio. Many states don't have a system by which Democrats and Republicans work together in order to put on an election. In some cases, it's a very partisan procedure, whereas that's not the case here in Ohio. We have Democrats and Republicans overseeing that process. But I think also recently, the Secretary of State's office has released videos and information to individuals to see exactly how the process works, so that the public can see not just the front part of it, which is you come in to vote, you cast your ballot, but also behind the scenes, what happens after all of that? How are the decisions that are made in terms of security or determining which ballots are to be counted or not to be counted? You know, those items, issues that have come up recently, I think, have been addressed by a number of items that the Secretary of State's provided. As I mentioned, the general support that I think I've seen over the years from people in Ohio of their support for the election system.
You have the voting machines themselves. Are they tested before they're actually used on election day?
Oh, yes. We have what we call logic and accuracy testing that is done on all of our touchscreen units as well as our optical scan units. Optical scan units are used for mail voting. But for the units that are used at the polling place, and we just completed testing about a week ago, because actually voting units started going out yesterday to polling locations across the county. Those units are all tested as if they were to be used on election day. So they are set up to go into a voting mode. We have individuals that vote a particular series of races, and then we upload those memory cards into our tabulation system, and then we look and confirm that, you know, this is how many people that, or how many votes we expected for particular candidates. See, is that how many actually came out in the report, and go through all of the procedures and steps that the poll workers would use in election day.
What about write-in candidates? I saw a story today, I don't know the accuracy, forgive me, but I saw a story today that said John Kasich had voted, and he had written in John McCain for president. John McCain's not a presidential candidate. He's not on the ballot. Can you write in anybody's name, and is that just a wasted vote? I mean, how do you describe that?
Well, you can certainly write in anything that you want, and in a presidential election, we see some very creative names that are written in for various races. However, only those people who have filed to be write-in candidates can have votes for them counted. And how the current law works in Ohio is after you file to be a certified write-in, which had to have been done a number of weeks ago, you then appear on a list that all the poll workers have and we have at the Board of Elections, but we're not allowed to distribute it. So if you go to the polls on election day or you come in to vote at the Board of Elections office and you were to ask an elections worker or a poll worker, can I see the list of valid write-in candidates, they would show you the list and you could see who was a valid write-in. But you could technically write in Daffy Duck or anybody who you'd like to write in, but once we review the write-in candidates on election night, only those who were certified as write-ins will be counted.
So there's a whole other story of people's names, things that have been written on ballot forms that have come through that be left for another day in a book and long after Paul retires.
Probably. But before we let you go, do you have a voter turnout prediction yet for us?
at this point, we're looking at, I think we're going to have a relatively good turnout. I think we're going to be somewhere in the high 60s, probably about 68% to 70% turnout in the county. Obviously, our county is very diverse. Some areas of our county vote in higher portions than the other, but I think when all said and done, I think we'll have a pretty high turnout, very close to where we were in previous presidential elections.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, taking we get them on the 1st of November, so the rest of November you're going to be booked.
1 week out.
Going out as we get ready for Election Day coming up November 8th. Of course, you can find out more at Lorain County Board of Elections. Their website has all the great information as well as things about the candidates, the ballots, lets people get some answers. But there's always people at some other end of a phone that they can also call and find out about what's going on. Again, our guest this morning, Paul Adams, the director of Lorain County Board of Elections.